You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey everybody, welcome back to America's Game, episode number 26. I am your host, Eric Vanek. You can find me on Twitter at EricVanekNFL. And also joined by my co-host, Scott Connor, as always. Scott, what's going on, man?
Eric, the season is finally over. And a lot of people have spent the last couple days kind of not sure where to go with their leagues. A lot of commish issues, just a lot of chatter that we probably didn't expect. So I'll leave it at that. Every other podcast has talked about a lot of that stuff, so we're going to kind of steer away from talking about that. But yeah, it's been interesting. I'll just say that. I didn't expect, like probably most of us didn't expect the season to end like this, but it did. And Dynasty, we have to stay flexible. We have to kind of just adapt and on the fly. And that's kind of what this week's been about. So good to be here. Glad to do an episode. I think we have something a little bit unique and fun to do, because I think the idea to do this right after the season ends is the most interesting time. But good to be here, man.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad the season's over, honestly. This year was pretty a mental grind for me, at least. Yeah, I just need a little break from everything, it seems like, right now. So I'm kind of glad that it's over, get a little break, refresh, get into some startups here, I don't know, March, April, around that time. But just take a month or two off. I'm usually not the kind of guy that gets grinded down, but maybe it's because I've done it for a couple years straight and nonstop, and then now it's kind of finally just caught up to me after a couple years, I think. So it's just nice to kind of get it over with, get a little bit of a break after a long, long season.
Yeah, and there is that period where, I mean, we commission a lot of leagues. We do a lot of other things. I mean, I'm doing a bunch of different stuff at all the time, so that has nothing to do with me managing my own teams and rosters and stuff. But there are logistic things that you always have to do. But at the same time, there is that like mental break you need away from the strategy guide and the, you know, constantly. And I think part of it is, to answer your question, or not really a question, but to just respond to your statement, I think part of what you're feeling is the after effect of Dynasty now becoming it's literally a minute to minute, hour by hour, day by day game. Used to not be that way. You used to be able to say, like, okay, during the season, there's going to be stuff that moves the needle. There's going to be things that change. But now it's like, what do we talk about every week when we did our recap pods? Like, every week there was almost something, multiple somethings, like groundbreaking events that happened. Injuries, you know, trades, just a bunch of stuff where it's like, you have to, your mental energy has to always be on high if you want to stay at the top of your game. Right. And I feel that. And I've considered myself to be somebody that's very resilient and literally able to just go through the wall all the time in my regular life, in my, you know, content creation life. But when you constantly have to be on like high alert all the time, sometimes there's a point where it's just like, I just need to stop. I need to just back off. I can't devote the mental energy it takes to be like at the very, very top of your game, you know? And that's what dynasties become. Like, if you're a content creator, especially, that has your hand in multiple things, I mean, I'm doing how many things every week, you know, 5 or 6 things every week. Like, I have to basically, I feel like I constantly need to be on social media, in the chats, in the Discord, in the group me's, reading Twitter. Like, I feel like I need to do that 8 hours a day to stay on top of my game. And I know that's not healthy. And I also know that I probably don't have to do that. It's not like people are going to go, oh, you're not as smart or you're not as knowledgeable because you don't do that. Like, that shouldn't be the expectation for something that largely we're doing out of a hobby. But you feel that way. You feel pressured. Like, man, if I'm not on top of every single piece of breaking news and every single change of things that happen, like, daily with players, with teams, with coaches, with all that stuff, like, you feel like you're falling behind. So I think it's just that rat race we get caught up in. Like, man, every day I have to be on top of everything. And there's some days where it's like, dude, I don't have the capacity to do that. You know, so it's, I think that's kind of what the game is now, man. It's like a social media engagement game, you know, and a lot of what we do is connected to other people in chats and constantly always having to be social with people, and it can just be draining. So I don't know if that's different, but it wasn't this way when we first started playing, you know, like, you and I would just like call each other on the phone and just talk about this stuff. But now it's like, we don't ever really do that other than when we're doing the podcast, but it feels like we're talking about it even more and more and more. You know what I mean? So I get it. I definitely can empathize with where you're at. So you got to take the time you need so that you can come back refreshed in a month and actually be excited again.
Yeah, that would be nice if that happens. But right now, just kind of just completely drained. I think another part that you brought up that I didn't really think about is it really is year-round, because for us, doing commissioner duties, so finding orphan owners, setting up the orphan sheets, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, we run, I don't know, 8-10 leagues, something at this point, and doing that on top of, you know, the regular season stuff too, and getting all that situated, getting settings and rookie drafts and all that coordinated. Yeah, it's literally a year-round thing right now. So yeah, I think I'm just kind of drained right now from it, just kind of looking to take a month or two off, just sit back and actually watch and enjoy the playoffs. That'll be nice too. Don't really have any stakes in it, just kind of just as a fan, just sit back and watch it and see how it goes. And then obviously we had the college playoffs last weekend too. That was really exciting. Both playoff games were really exciting. So looking forward to watching that championship game too, even though I think Georgia's going to probably bully them around and beat them up pretty good. But yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of looking forward to the championship now and the playoffs, honestly.
Well, and I'll just say this. Everybody out there that listens, that grinds like we do, even if you don't create content or you're not in, you know, 30, 40 leagues or more, or you're not commissioning a dozen leagues or, you know, whatever, you don't want to lose the excitement for why you're here in the first place. This is not a job. To very, 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 very few people, it's a job. Like, I know a couple people out there that actually play or create content for a living, and that is their career and that is their job. I mean, in just real talk, like, this is something where people have come to me before and they're like, yeah, are you interested in doing this? Are you interested in, you know, working in the industry on a bigger level? Or, and it's like, I would never want to be in a position where that becomes a conflict with what you love. You know what I mean? But that's what the NFL has become, man. The NFL is a year-round sport. It is designed that way. And then when you throw a fantasy game or a dynasty game on top of that, like, I can sit here and say, Eric, yeah, you can take off until April or May. But you know what? You're going to miss like two of the funnest months of the year. You know, the combine, the scouting and the rookies and stuff. Like, that's part of it. That's almost more fun than the season. You know, like, you don't want to miss that. But then you get to like, you know, July and August and you're like, oh, you can take a break in July and August. But Eric doesn't take a break in July and August. You're the one grinding the training camp notes and the preseason. Like, you love that too. And then obviously like May and June is like rookie draft season, you know, like, when do you get your break? Because I could argue there's little mini seasons within the calendar year that have nothing to do with football games, but those are probably just as fun for you as the actual season, you know? So you got to find your spots and you got to take care of yourself from like a, you know, mental health standpoint. It has to be something that you're like, you know what? I haven't thought about my dynasty teams in a month. I'm actually excited to go back and look at some of them and see what I can do. If that doesn't come back, then you kind of got to question, like, what are you doing? Truthfully, I think we all have to do that to whatever level you're in, you know, you're invested in, whether it's a money thing or a time thing. Like, if you don't come back and have that passion, even if it's not the same passion it was 5 years ago, if it's not burning there somewhere, then what the hell are you doing? So, I mean, that's just a real thing, you know, and I think a lot of us feel that create content, that play fantasy, that gamble, DFS, whatever it is. Like, you can get caught up in that to where it's like, dude, I'm just drained. It's not even fun anymore. And as soon as you start saying it's not even fun, what are you doing? What are you doing? This isn't your living. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, nah, it's definitely not that. It's just, I think just years and years of doing all this stuff is just kind of caught up with no breaks, really. So,
yep.
I think also, obviously, a disappointing week 17. Just a lot of players shit the bed again, didn't do anything stat wise. I think that has a lot to do with it for me too, just of how disappointing it is. You get to your championship games and everybody just shits the bed completely. And it's just it's frustrating as hell. So yeah, that's all I really got with that one, man. It was a kick in the dick.
Yeah. You know what, though? That's just the icing on top. You know, you kind of almost have to think about sometimes. I mean, we'll end this discussion because we could literally just go on a tangent about it's not necessarily even a dynasty or football show at this point. But sometimes you got to think, you got to sit back and you got to say, okay, like there could be a lot of things that happen to you on a daily basis, you know, bad things, negative things, things you got to interrupt everything and go deal with. And sometimes even if those aren't happening, it is healthy for you to sit back and say, okay, well, what if it did? Do I have the capacity to handle it? Physically, mentally, whatever. Like, do I have the capacity to take it on? And if the answer is like, if that happened, I'd be ruined. That's probably not a good place to live. You know what I mean? If just one bad day or, you know, hey, Eric, if your teams that are in the championship don't perform this week, your next couple weeks is going to be hell. Like, think about that before you set yourself up in those scenarios the next time. You know what I mean? Like, give yourself a little forgiveness. Give yourself a little capacity to deal with stuff that pops up. And, you know, you're like, this isn't happening yet. But if it did, it doesn't completely wreck everything, you know? So that's something I think about all the time when you're just going go, 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 go. And you don't give yourself any sort of breaks. And you're like, what if something gets disrupted? And like, you got to go deal with something else. Like, what do? You can't just quit. So just word of the wise to everybody that's, you know, constantly up running on empty, but going full board. So,
right. That makes sense. So another thing you wanted to talk about too was, what we learned from 2022, you know, fantasy wise, dynasty wise, whatever. So I'll let you take the floor on that. Anything that you, you wanted to talk about or bring up, and I'll just kind of chime in off of you.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of speaks to what we were already talking about a little bit, is when you're looking at players that didn't perform. Like, I think this year has humbled me from a perspective of more than ever, and I've talked about this for years, that there's a level of variance and randomness that exists in a game that we play. I mean, look no further than we have a player, you know, basically almost die on the field. And no one could have seen that coming. No one could have predicted that could happen. No commissioner or no league is going to have bylaws to cover that. You know, like, and that's an extreme example of variance, but just random variance that happens every single week, every single game, every single player. I think this has really made me appreciate how much we don't know. We can sit here and say, oh, I project this to happen. I think this is going to happen. But as soon as we start zooming in on like individual specific things and saying for sure, like, yep, I know how this is going to go, or I know how that's going to go, Like, we can quickly get humbled by the fact that we just don't. You know, sometimes we're right, but more often than not, we're not right. And many times we're on the complete opposite end, and it's just variance. So I think that that's something that I've learned, that when you're playing a game of chance, when you're playing a game like fantasy football or dynasty football, like, that you can never be so sure about what's going to happen. And let that be a big dictator in how you play. So, I mean, we talk all the time about, we play in a lot of leagues, we do portfolio, we try to diversify, you know what I mean? But think about that more so than, because we all get caught up in thinking, okay, I know this is going to happen, so I'm just going to do it this way because I know that's correct. Well, what if it's not? So it's really, but any decision you make, sit there and acknowledge that there's almost never more than a 60% chance you're going to be correct. And let that kind of guide how you play. Let that how you approach playing. You know, whether that's you start playing other sports, you start playing other games, or it's just the way that you build your teams. You know, you diversify the way you build your teams. You protect yourself for outcomes that you don't really think are going to happen, but you also acknowledge that are possible. So I think just inserting the word variance and understanding it, and understanding that it exists in a really, really high degree in Dynasty. Well, that's the biggest takeaway for me. It's kind of slapped me in the face this year. You know, you think you're going to do one thing and then you don't. And it's like, what, Eric, you had a bad week 17. What did you do wrong? What did you do wrong? And the answer can't be, oh, I picked the wrong players. You know that's not something you can fix next year by just making sure you foresee the future and get them all right. So what did you do wrong? You know, if you look at your teams and you go, yeah, they just didn't perform. Mm. Okay. The only thing you probably could have done is maybe spread out your risk a little bit more, or, you know, but like, it's not like you built your teams the way you didn't want to build them. So, I mean, I think just got to respect that variance a lot more than a lot of us do. So that's what I learned the most this year.
Yeah, I agree with all that. And there's really, like you said, there's really nothing you can do if a whole bunch of players completely shit the bed. You know, I can't change that. Nobody can really change that. So you're going to play, you know, not, besides last week, before that, like, Davante Adams had like 3 straight weeks of shitty games. You can't change that, you know. Nobody can really change that. Everyone thought he was going to smash the rest of the year, get these 15 target games and all that.
But, Mike Evans, you know, Tom Brady put up 100 points combined. If you had that stack,
yeah.
Somehow in the finals, you beat everybody. You beat every single person that had any other quarterback and receiver. Who would have thought?
And they hadn't done shit all year. So yeah, that's crazy. I think the one thing I learned is just kind of reaffirming, you know, what we have talked about for a couple years now, is having those two elite quarterbacks is king. Obviously, if, you know, you had Lamar or Kyler, it didn't work out for you because they got hurt. But if you have the two that stay healthy, if you had Mahomes and Jalen Hurts, I mean, Jalen did get hurt there at the end too, but Mahomes and Josh Allen, whoever it is, you know, those two quarterbacks could pretty much just carry you from week to week. And every single week, it seems like,
except for Josh Allen, who's going to take a zero.
Yeah, but nothing I can do about that one.
I think the fact that you brought up Lamar, Jalen Hurts, and Josh Allen, and those were three guys that either were not available or gave you zeros last week.
To get you there, though, that they were king. I don't think that philosophy is changing. Like, these, if you want to invest next year and say, oh, I'm just going to take Jared Goff and Daniel Jones later, so I can draft Justin Jefferson and Ken Walker and CeeDee Lamb in my first 3 rounds, and then rounds 4 and 5, I'm just going to get Daniel Jones and Goff. Like, good luck to you. Like, I don't think it's going to work out for you. That's just not how I want to play. I want to have those elite quarterbacks. I want to make sure I trade up for them if I can. I at least have one of them. Like, I don't have to have two of them. It'd be nice if I could and really have that advantage over the league. But I'm, you know, more willing to just make sure I at least get one of them and do whatever I need to do. And then these two point tight end leagues for premium, start two tight ends, like, having those tight ends, like, those top ones are king too. Like if you, I know I had one team this year that was Kelce and Andrews, and I had Tyler Higbee as well. I mean, those three at points this year really carried me and just won me weeks just on their own. So in these like highly premium tight end leagues, you know, I'm going to value those high end tight ends a lot more too. So that's just another thing that I kind of learned this year as well.
Yeah, it's funny with you mentioning the quarterbacks, like you kind of affirmed your point and my point at the same time with like the variance you couldn't control with the injuries and stuff like that. But at the same time, like if you had any combo of those three quarterbacks that you mentioned, you probably got far enough to where, especially like Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, like they didn't play. So you at least would have gotten yourself, you know, to the point to where you would have been able to make a different decision. It's not like you're screwed with having them in a lineup and then they give you a zero. You know, that's a different thing. But yeah, I agree with you. I mean, what we have planned for the show today, we're kind of run through an example of what you're talking about. But my last question for you is, do you think we're at the inflection point to where it's almost impossible to do that strategy that you mentioned? Because so many people are thinking the same way. Are we at the point where at best you kind of settle for you get one stud and then you get a couple other guys around the stud and you probably have to have three quarterbacks, because like it's really hard for, you know, to go trade for one of the studs if you don't have one. Like it's not even that you can't even trade everything on your roster. A lot of times the people that have them just don't trade them. They refuse, you know, like I'm one of those guys. If I have like Justin Herbert, I'm just not trading him. The only way I trade him is if you give me one of the other guys in the top eight or nine. And that kind of defeats the purpose as to why you would want to give you'd want to come get him in the first place, right? You probably want two of the elite guys together. You don't want to trade. I mean, do you really want to trade Joe Burrow for Justin Herbert? Who cares? You know, like they're probably right in the same tier. So like, it just feels like those deals are few and far between. You have to have the right manager that's willing to pivot when you want to pivot the other way. And in startup drafts, like Ray's talked about it, like if you pick at the end of a startup, you're just screwed. And if you pick in the first four or five, six picks of the startup, there's no way you're trading back. The only way you trade back is if you're like, okay, I can pick up, you know, I can go from Burrow to Dak and get like a first plus, you know, like it's got to be an extremely good deal for you to even consider it, because it's, you now have to build, even if you got the 106 and you didn't want to take on the team that got Mahomes, Allen, you didn't want to pick the QB6 because you think there's a tier break there, right? You still know if you trade back, you now have to build your team in a way you don't even want to build it. So in a startup, it's kind of like if you have a bunch of people that are committed to building the way you want to build, none of those people are willing to go, oh, I'll trade my first, I'll go back to the second and build with three shit-ass quarterbacks. You know, no one really wants to do that. So even in a startup, I just don't see a lot of people giving us those trade-up deals like we might have tried to get the last couple of years. So, I mean, what do you think about that? Do you think we're at that point where you just get into a lot of leagues and it's like nobody will even move those picks?
I could see it going that way, but people just love to trade. They love to accumulate picks, so I could see it going both ways. We'll see how it goes this year. I mean, I'm sure me and you are both going to be in startups within the next couple months, starting up or whatever before the draft, and we can talk about it on here. That's one thing I definitely want to talk about is like our experience in startups and how they're going and what we're seeing to kind of relay to the listeners.
Are you going to be, because I mean, Ray's mentioned this, I've heard him mention it like five times already on shows. Are you going to be one of those guys that if you're going to do more leagues, you want to do auctions?
Like, no, I'm open to either.
So you would do a snake startup where it was just a random draw and you could get like the 111, you'd be fine with that?
Yeah, I think I'm fine with that right now, yeah. I think, a couple of our leagues that we did, Dynasty Masters and the Gamers League, I liked doing those before the NFL draft and actually having the rookie draft picks in the startup as well. Because I remember that's where I got Barkley at like the 109. Like, people will be able to draft the 101, you know, in that first round, maybe at that 111 pick, you know. Hey, I can get Bijan there. Might not be ideal with trying to want to get quarterbacks and stuff, but, it gives you a lot more different options in the draft, so I like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're going to do it that way, you you are subject to some randomness of where you pick. And you're also subject to, I think what Ray talks about when he mentions is he's assuming if he's doing a league, he's probably doing a league with a bunch of the DD people. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are leagues you can get in where, you know, people aren't thinking the exact same way.
I think just quickly butt in there. I think one thing to do is if you do a stake startup, I think it's got to be third round reversal.
Yeah.
I think that's the only fair way to like really do it right now.
I think that's fair. And I think also, like, I mean, I hate to say it, but if you're going to join, let's say you're going to join five new leagues this year, maybe it's not a bad idea to do one or two of those with different people. People that are not the same people that you talk to every single day, like between the Discord and the DNC Patreon, I could never do a league again with somebody that's not in those. Meaning every single other person in the league is from those two groups. There's plenty of people where I could start 20 new leagues and get different people in all of them, and it still wouldn't be enough to fill more people than what are in those chats, right? But do I necessarily want to, the only people that I want to play against are the same people that are kind of on the same page with how you want to play? Sometimes it's good to go and find the random league that has nine people that you've never met anybody. And you're like, you know what? I'll jump into this one, you know, like, and that can give you, that alone can give you enough of a different flavor to where you maybe feel like you can build a team a little bit differently, even if it's a snake draft from a different slot, that you don't feel like it's, oh, just another startup where I'm going against Ray and Scott and, you know, blah, blah, the same people, you know, like, you know, pretty much what we're all going to do for the most part. So I think you spread around, it's not just spreading around the types of leagues you play in, but it's also spreading around the people you play with is a good idea. Like, not every one of your leagues needs to be with me. You know, like that, I think that's a, I know you want to get into good leagues, trustworthy leagues, active leagues and all that stuff, but sometimes it's fun just to go play with random people that don't see the world like you do.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's some leagues like that, you know, I think have been fine that I've joined with new people and doing it that way. There's also some real fucking characters that I don't want to play with anymore too from those leagues. Just like the no trade deadline leagues and these assholes just try and buy their championships and stuff. I fucking hate it. I can't stand it anymore. I'm done with it. If you got to have a fucking trade deadline, unless it's with people that I trust. None of this doing it with random assholes anymore. I can't do it.
All right. Well, that's a topic for a different time because that's the most passionate I've heard you say anything in the last week. So your voice really...
You haven't heard the other stuff.
Oh, I know. There's a lot of stuff that I haven't heard. But your voice really got excited when you made that comment. Like, you could tell there's some real passion behind those words.
Doing trade deadlines with people... or non-trade deadlines with the people from the communities, people that I've talked to, and they get it, like, you know, they're making fair trades, but, like, these ones that are just, like, buying championships and stuff or trying to, I can't take it anymore. I can't fucking do it, dude. I'm just tired of them.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
So I think that's my way to protect myself is if I'm going to join a league with randoms, it's got to have a trade deadline. Otherwise, I'll just be pissed off again.
No, I mean, I get it. I think one of the most important things, I mean, and I am very outspoken about, I don't like trade deadlines, but that's just me in life in general. The less constraints and parameters on a lot of things, I prefer less constraints and rules. You know what I mean? But I do think that there is an element that can be lacking. And I think we saw it this year a little bit too, is when you have a league with no trade deadline, you need to be whatever side of the leverage you're on, whether you're the seller or the buyer, you need to have the ability to really use your position to your strength. You know, like there, if you think about it in a utopian world, the people that are selling to the contenders in a no trade deadline league, as long as they sit there and go, you know what, I'm not going to give you a break just because I'm out of it and you're playing for something. That's all you need. It doesn't mean you're not going to make a fair deal. But I'm not going to just cut you some slack because I'm out of it and, you know, you're not, you know, like you have to truly still evaluate what you're doing and be able to convince the league that it's the best for your team. And that's it. And if you can justify that, I can't really have a problem with it, whether I know you, whether you're a random person that I never played with. But yeah, sometimes you do see trades and it's just like, you can't see the justification on the side of the person selling for, like, they couldn't convince you what they were doing. They don't have a plan. You know, it's kind of like, oh, screw it. I'm not going to benefit, but that means that other people are going to get pissed off too. So I'm just going to see what happens. So right. That's all. You got to have some, you always have to have principles. Even if you're out of it, it's like, dude, I'm not giving you a break. I want you to win. I mean, I would do it to you.
Right.
Like, I like you. I want Eric to win, but I'm not going to go behind the scenes and go, hey, Eric, I'm going to cut you a deal that I wouldn't offer anybody else in the league. You know, now if you don't take it, you also can't be like, oh, hey, come on, hook me up. You know what I mean? Like that's not how it works. You just got to have principles and stick to them, and then right. I'm fine with it.
Right. All right, on to the non-less depressing shit. Are you ready to move on to the next part?
Yeah, this should be fun. We're going to run through this, and it'll give us some really kind of early looks on what we were just talking about a couple minutes ago.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a 3-round startup mock. It's going to be super flex, tight end premium, 1.75 premium for tight ends. You know, just your normal league, start one quarterback with a super flex, 2 running back, 3 receiver, 1 tight end, couple flexes, startup, you know, start 10 or 11, 12, something like that. And we're just going to go over what we would be doing in a startup mock right now. I don't care who goes first, if you want to go first or if it don't matter to me.
Yeah, I mean, we won't necessarily here's what I want to do, because I liked this idea. Eric proposed this idea to me the other day, like, hey, let's do a startup mock. I don't necessarily want to, at least I'm not going to, I don't necessarily want to talk about why I have this player over the other. You get a lot of that. Like, that's not what our show has ever been about. We are never a show that's going to go, hey, Eric, I like this player over that player. I think they're better, you know, like whatever. Like, you can have your reasons as to why you make a pick. But I think we should be zooming out on this and really trying to kind of like figure if we were reading a room in a real startup, like what would we be doing? Given that we have all different teams, you know, I know it's just you and I making the picks, but just trying to really get a pulse on like, okay, if this was me in this spot on the board, what would I be looking to do? So I'm not going to talk a whole lot of why I'm picking a player. It's going to be more of the strategy behind why I'm doing what I'm doing. So I'll start. I mean, I would get Patrick Mahomes first in a startup. I just think he's the best quarterback in the league, and his fantasy scoring has been, you know, top 3 every single year. Kind of look at Mahomes and say, like, wait till he gets an elite set of weapons, you know? Like, what if they just luck into some good weapons over the next couple of years and he's already like the QB2? So I think I'm just all in on Mahomes. I think he's, if I have to pick first, like, he's still the number one player in Dynasty for me.
Okay, yeah, I agree with that. That's pretty easy for me as well. I'd probably go Mahomes. I think I would go Josh Allen here with the 102 pick. He's still, you know, on fantasy points, he's still way up there with all these guys. Running ability is right up there. He's pretty much like their goal line back. He's going to get you at least 5-6 touchdowns on the ground too every year. He's got digs. They're going to probably be in a decent spot to maybe draft another playmaker there at the end of the first round. There's a lot of running backs in this free agent class that I think could really help them as well. So I think that'll only help Josh Allen a bit more too. So I'm going to go with Josh Allen at the 102.
All right. Expected. Same for me. I'll go Jalen Hurts, 103. I think he's basically where Lamar Jackson was 3 years ago. He's in the same spot. Doesn't run as much as Lamar, but I mean, I just think for fantasy, there's a really no scenarios where, other than when he's hurt, there's no scenarios where he's not in the top 6 or better. Like, he's just going to be there. And he's, you know, attached to an offense that is going to be, at least for this foreseeable future, you know, you probably can look at a 2 or 3 year window where they're going to be right up there in the top, you know, 5 offenses in the league. So I think he's really just bulletproof. So I think he's just by default QB3. That's not a slight to any others, but just where he's at in his career, like, likely going to get a big extension. Like, this is the perfect time to latch on. I would easily take him 103.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. Jalen's probably would have been my other pick as well. So I agree with that. My next pick here, a little bit of a debate for me between Burrow and Herbert. I think I'm going to go with Joe Burrow just because he has the better weapons right now. He's got, obviously, T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, two of the best weapons in the league. Burrow can run a little bit, too. It's not like he's a complete zero on the ground running. And I just like the player. I mean, I like Herbert, too, but I've always really liked Joe Burrow and liked how he played the game. So I'm going to go with Joe Burrow on that one.
Yep, you know, I will never argue with Burrow. I mean, he's pretty much done everything you could have expected. You know, I don't think he has the ceiling of somebody like Jalen Hurts and probably Mahomes. But you never know. You know, I don't think anybody would have expected that he was going to be, you know, top four quarterback this year either. So I can't argue with it. I think Herbert's in the same tier. I'll take Herbert 105. I think Herbert really is just missing the infrastructure around him. And even when he's missing the infrastructure around him, like, he's still going to give you probably top eight numbers. I mean, this year he's fallen behind a little bit, but even in his, like, worst case scenario, which I think is what he's in right now, he's still going to give you top 12 numbers. So I'll go Herbert and just hope the infrastructure around him changes a little bit. And then he could be right back to where he was last year and the year before. So I think he'd pretty easy 104, 105, Burrow and Herbert are right there. Flip a coin. Yeah. You know, I think I would probably be like, if I have more Burrow, I would take Herbert. If I have more Herbert, I would take Burrow. You know, I don't even really care. Just portfolio move. They're that close.
Right. I agree with that. So next year, I think I would still, well, yeah, I can go him too. It's between Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson for me. So I know, like, people might not have Watson this high still. I think I'm going to go Deshaun Watson, though. I just think he's obviously a better passer than Lamar. He did show that he can run the ball still pretty well coming back this year. And I think things are only going to look up for him in this offense. He's going to have Nick Chubb there. Cooper should be back this year. He's got Njoku. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Deshaun Watson on this one.
Interesting. Okay. Honestly, it makes my decision a little tougher because the next two players were ones I was debating over. I like Deshaun, too. I think he's still in that tier of, like, if you're in the top eight or nine in a startup, like, I have no issues with him as my top QB. I think I'll go Justin Fields. I think I'll go with Fields just because I think he's basically at an earlier stage in his career as some of the other quarterbacks that are available. And, you know, we saw this year, the only worry with Fields is obviously, like, how often he's been injured and how often he's been banged up. Like, that's literally going down a scary path. But you can also argue that he can get into a situation that's a lot better than where he is. So he's got to, you know, obviously got to be better from an efficiency standpoint to keep on this trajectory, but I'm comfortable taking him here. So I'll go Fields 107.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that with his rushing ability and all that. You know, he's right up there with all those guys. So I agree with that. I'm going to take the other guy I was considering, and I'm going to go with Lamar Jackson here. The only reason I took Watson over Lamar is I think Watson's just a better passer for me. Lamar's been getting beat up a little bit here the last couple years. He's missed basically the last two playoffs for you. So it's kind of hard to trust him a little bit there with the health. Then there's also possibly being traded, being on someone else's team next year instead of Baltimore, or can he work out a deal with Baltimore? You know, we still got to see that. There's rumors of maybe Atlanta would be a good spot for him. I mean, he'd have Drake London and Kyle Pitts. Sign me up for that. I think Lamar has shown that he can support two weapons, and if his two weapons that he's supporting is Kyle Pitts and Drake London, yeah, sign me up for that. So I'm going to go with Lamar Jackson on that one.
Yep, that was my debate between Fields and Lamar. You didn't take either when you took Watson, so he's clearly still in that tier. I mean, listen, you can say he's kind of on the downward slope of his career at this point, but you could also picture that he goes somewhere different and we can see a Lamar that we've never seen before. You know, I can see both outcomes, but even as long as he just stays a starter, he's still going to be there for fantasy. I mean, he's QB5 this year in points per game. So it's like, even if you classify this year as a complete bust, like, he's still, like, his floor is so extremely high, and his ceiling, yeah, honestly, his ceiling is probably higher than any quarterback in the league as well. So, like, that, I know I've been big on the Lamar's going to Atlanta. He's definitely getting traded, because I just don't see Baltimore, you know, signing him. Like, it's pretty clear they don't want to pay him what he wants paid, and it seems like he might be kind of checked out on the Ravens at this point. So hopefully he goes somewhere else and we get some nice stacks like you were talking about. I'll go Trevor Lawrence, 109. I think he's kind of like a younger mini version of Herbert. I mean, if I told you next year Lawrence is in the Burrow Herbert tier, would you be shocked?
No, not at all. I mean, that keep trade cut already has him up there. Like, he's above. Yeah. They have him at quarterback six,
seven,
above
six.
Lamar, Fields, Kyler, Deshaun, all those guys already. Yeah. So I think that's a little too high, but he's on the back end of that tier.
Well, and that's also very, very much recency bias too. Like, yeah, they're obviously going to put him below, you know, they're going to put Watson and Lamar below him because, well, people don't really like those guys anymore. So, yeah, I think Lawrence clearly 109. Again, like, you might draw the 108, 109, and you're like, man, that sucks. I don't get a high pick. I saw someone ask in the Discord like a week ago. Can't remember who it was, but I think they drew the 107 in a startup. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to know if they gave up their 107 and a 24 first for the 101. I'm not doing that. Mm. It's not even that I'm trading, you know, Watson and a first for Mahomes. It's, I'm building a brand new team, and the first move I make is not to give up my 24 first for a quarterback upgrade when I'm already still in the tier. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm just not doing that. You can sit here now in an existing league where you already have an established team and you say, okay, I want to get Mahomes share, and all I have to trade is Trevor Lawrence and a first. Okay, I'd be fine with that. But in a startup, no. That's the opposite move of what you should be doing. In fact, you can also argue if you can trade back from the 101 and you can get two picks and pick up like an extra first, you know what I mean? Like, you could consider doing that. It wouldn't be comfortable, but as long as you stay within this quarterback tier, I'd be fine with it. So, yeah, 109 is still a good spot.
Okay. Yeah, so coming up here on the 110, you know, I have a couple questions. This is where it starts to creep into mind. Okay, do I go with the top receiver or maybe the top running back that I have, or do I take the last quarterback that I think is there? So I'm going between Kyler and Dak here, personally. Kyler's got the ACL tear he's going to come off with. He's already been talked about as maybe not being ready for week one next year. I think that's a little still 50-50. We'll see how he recovers and all that. It's kind of like on a similar timeline that Burrow was on. It was probably about the same time that he cut his, or Burrow tore his ACL. It's like, you know, week 9, week 10 or whatever it was. So, yeah, they babied Joe Burrow that whole offseason. You know, he didn't play any preseason games, obviously. Didn't get hit until the first game out there against Minnesota. So yeah, I think that scares me just a little bit. And I think Dak is still pretty solid. I don't think there's anything wrong with Dak. I think they're going to want to pass the ball a little bit more next year too. And Dak's proven he's one of the most efficient quarterbacks in the league. He can still run the ball just a little bit if he needs to. It's not like he was in his younger days. It slowed down just a little bit, but it's still relevant enough. So I'm going to go Dak Prescott here with my last quarterback of the tier that I feel comfortable with.
Yeah, I agree with you. I would take Dak over Kyler. So Kyler tore his ACL a month after Burrow.
Okay.
He just had his surgery yesterday.
Right.
He not only had an ACL tear, but a meniscus repair. So very unlikely he's back till halfway through next year. And I can almost assure everybody, I know Jeff talked about this in the chat, but like, he's probably not going to be 100% at all next year. Now, on the contrary, you know what? When we're talking quarterbacks in this tier, I don't care. Is it exactly how I wanted to build my team? No. The only argument by not taking Kyler with this next pick at the 111 would be, is there going to be a window where I can buy Kyler even cheaper? Is he one of those guys that's going to be available? Maybe not in my startup, but in my other leagues that I'm in? haven't you found that maybe Kyler might be more available in other leagues than maybe other quarterbacks, right?
Yeah, like, I would think so, yeah.
So that's where you have to decide when you're starting to build a team. If you're building a portfolio of leagues, let's say I already have 15 leagues. Do I really want to start a team with Kyler, knowing that in one of my other 15 leagues, he's probably available for trade? Like Pat Mahomes isn't available for trade in any league. So you just take him. You know, Trevor Lawrence may not be available for trade in any of your leagues. And so it's like, if you get him in the startup, yeah, then that's where you take him. Kyler kind of feels like, okay, out of my 15 leagues, I bet you if I win and overpaid, I could probably get Kyler for 3 firsts in some leagues, maybe less. I can't get other quarterbacks for that. So that's where it starts to make it tough for me. Do I want to start another league with Kyler? You know what I mean? Because I can probably go get shares of him in other spots. So I think that's the tier break. I think at this point, the 111 and 112, you have to decide how you want to construct your team. Do you want to turn it into a, I'm just going to take every asset that has the most value, that has the most potential to rise in value over the next 6 months, or even hold their value? Like, you know, there's assets in Dynasty where you draft them, they're just not going to lose value. Nothing can even really dent them, you know, at least in the short term. So this one's a tough for me. I think this is the toughest pick of the draft so far.
I agree.
I'm going to force the hand of the person that's on the turn at the 112 and the 201, because I'm going to know after their first two picks how they're planning to build their team. And they either take two quarterbacks, and then they could be the one team that gets two top 12 quarterbacks, right? Or they punt quarterback because they're thinking the same thing. Man, I'm just not going to take quarterbacks, because if I take two quarterbacks and both of them are super risky, what do I really have? Nobody's going to want to trade for Kyler in this. And it's not like I'm going to be able to go up from Kyler to Joe Burrow. So you're just stuck with them, you know, like they better work out or you've just pissed away your first two picks. So I think I'm going to go Ja'Marr Chase. I think that sentiment is, I think Jefferson's more valuable than Chase, but, you know, we'll see. If you think T. Higgins is leaving, then you probably haven't seen Ja'Marr Chase's best season. We could easily see, you know, a monster season, because the games he – did you see the numbers of his games when Higgins doesn't play? It's like 16 targets a game, you know, like he gets fed. Something so crazy. I think you can pick between Chase or Jefferson, but I'm taking one of those two at this spot, and then I'm going to challenge the team on the turn how they're going to pick. So that's where I'm doing. That's where I'm going. Ja'Marr Chase.
All right, so I'll take the next two picks here for the 112 and the 201 since it's the same team. So I think with one of those picks, like I said, you pretty much explained it all too. Not really taking Kyler there. I'm not comfortable with Tua either. He's there. Trey Lance maybe is in consideration here for me. That'd probably be the quarterback I would take if I were going to take one, but I don't think I'm going to. I think I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to load up on what I think would be the two best skill players in the draft, and I'm going to take at 112 Justin Jefferson, and then the 201 Bijan Robinson. So those would be my two picks.
So let's do rookie picks.
All right,
so you'd cool. go one, you'd go 101, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're synonymous with each other. But yeah, I think that's smart that you did that, because you essentially took there's a tier, I think, of three between Chase, Jefferson, and the 101.
Right.
Skill players, those are the three. After that, yeah. It's a drop off. So yeah. You got two of the three. Now you're committed to building your team a little differently. But now you're also hopefully kind of pushing some of the other players off the board that are going to help you get more options coming back. Like you're kind of daring all the other teams to take quarterbacks now, because if they want to, you're not really scared about the quarterbacks that they're going to take from you.
Right.
Like, yeah, there's ones that you want, but you know, if someone goes, well, I'm going to hoard the quarterbacks from Eric, and they start taking the Kirk Cousins in the second or third, you're like, okay, fine. You know what I mean? You'll just continue. You've already set yourself up to kind of pivot a different type of team. So it sucks to pick at the 112 and 201, but I think if I had to do it, I would do it what you're doing. Because if you go, put it this way, if you would have double tapped Kyler Murray and Tua there, there could honestly be a scenario where you end up with two fucking zeros.
Yeah.
And two guys nobody wants.
Yeah.
So now what do you have? You know what I mean?
The skill player options coming back to me are definitely are going to all be the same as what everyone else is getting.
Yeah, everyone's going to be picking the same type of receivers and running backs. So it's like you have nothing. You now have a roster with nothing on it to separate itself. And you probably hate your quarterbacks. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
You're probably pissed off every day going, oh, man, I don't like these guys. So I think I'm probably going to be forced to take Kyler here. But this is what I did by taking Ja'Marr Chase is I gave myself the ability to kind of go both ways. Like if you would have taken Kyler and Tua, then I'm like, sure, I'll take Jefferson. Okay. And then I have the two best receivers that are clearly in a tier above everybody else. So I'll go Kyler Murray. And I don't hate it because I probably would. Let me ask you this. If I would have gone Kyler at 111, are you double tapping Chase Jefferson?
I think I would have, yeah.
So now I'm committed to taking a quarterback that might be out next year and then a running back on that same team where, you know how we treat running backs, as soon as they peak in value, you want to fucking get rid of them, you know? Right. Like, so my team isn't really set up the way that I would want. So yeah, I'll go Kyler.
Okay. So I am up here at the 203 and the 110 took Dak Prescott in this one. And I think on this one, I'm just going to, I could go obviously with another quarterback. The skill players have just started to come off. I think if I have Dak, I want to lock him up with CD Lamb. It might be a little early for CD Lamb to go here, but if I got Dak and I can pair him up with CD Lamb, I think I'm just going to go ahead and do it and get the stack. So I'm going to go CD Lamb here. It's a 203.
No, I don't. Honestly, I don't think it's early at all. I think it's a very pragmatic pick. I don't think it's early at all. I think he had to pick somebody has to be wide receiver three, right? And he's like one of the two or three candidates to probably be there.
Yeah, and you have Dak. It makes it easy.
Yep.
So this one, you took Trevor Lawrence last. So
who would you take this is the
second pick?
This is a tough spot because I definitely would have taken CeeDee Lamb if I'm going wide receiver. I think it's probably between either AJ Brown or just for the sake of strategy. I learned this from Brian Malone way back 2017. His rule of thumb when you do startups before the rookie draft. Try to come out of it with at least 30% or more of your roster being draft picks simply because of the power of the flexibility that you get. And I always used to sit there and go, okay, yeah, that makes sense. But you know, why take the draft picks? Like when I say I'm taking a draft pick, your train of thought is going to be, okay, would I really take this draft pick over this 102? And you might say in an existing league, you wouldn't trade that a player that's on the board for the 102. But you can't think of it that way. It isn't just a one for one. It is a, what am I foregoing by not taking a draft pick that could potentially come up in the next couple months? If I have a player, I have a player. The player could get hurt. The player could kind of flatline. People won't really want a single player. A pick is a pick. A pick, I think, has a lot more options, and the options not necessarily being what players you can draft, but what players you might be able to obtain because someone else wants a pick. So I think here is like the perfect spot. I'll just take the 102. I have no clue who I would pick at the 102 today. I wouldn't feel comfortable picking a player and being super confident in it. But I'll take the 102 just because it's like, okay, I get the first shot after Bijan of the next player off the board, whatever that might be. So 102.
Okay. So the next pick here, this is where Lamar Jackson got selected at the 108. So here at the 205. I think I would just I could go with the rookie pick 103. I could go with maybe the first tight end, another receiver. I think I'm actually going to go with I think I'm going to take another quarterback. I think I feel a little bit more comfortable with Trey Lance. I mean, obviously Tua hurt, Trey Lance has been hurt. Kyler was hurt. I feel a little bit more comfortable with Trey Lance since it was just a broken ankle. Obviously, he just got the plate taken out last week, too, so he should be fine for the regular season starting up. And he still has some value, and he's going to be a very good rushing quarterback. So if this is even a point per carry league, we didn't really say that, but if it's a point per carry league even, too, having Lamar and Trey Lance, that's huge, having both of those guys. You might have him, Fields, Jalen, You know, you got two of the top four rushing quarterbacks in the league on the same team. So, yeah, give me Trey Lance on this one.
Interesting. I can't argue with it. I did think you might consider Kyle Pitts because that's where you're manifesting the Kyle Pitts from Lamar stack next year.
Yeah, but it's not confirmed.
I
don't even know if I would even take Kyle Pitts as the first tight end, too.
Yeah, I think he's one of those where you might get in a draft and he might already be gone, and then you get in a draft where he's not going to go till the third. You know, it just depends on the room. So, yeah, I can't argue with your pick. I probably would. So you're easily taking Lance over Tua at this point. Yep.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I still like Tua, but I think Lance's rushing upside puts me above. So, all right. Is where you took Justin Fields as the next pick. So I'm guessing Byron Pringle.
Oh yeah, or Equanimee St. Brown.
Yeah, get that. No, stack.
It's interesting that now that you introduced the risk of the concussions into Tua, that clearly people now pivot to Lance because it's like Lance feels like he has a lot more room to kind of grow from a dynasty asset standpoint, and Tua feels like as safe as Tua is probably if he continues to play, it feels like after the concussion, like a third of your league is just going to be out on Tua no matter what. Like, right. It doesn't matter what he scores. It's going to be like, I don't want to take on that risk. Like, it took the other guys that have gotten concussions in the past of like, yeah, I don't want him anymore. Like,
I could argue that Lance now has the best, like, four weapons in the league on his team with McCaffrey, Ayuk, Debo, Kittle. He's got all four of those guys to distribute the ball to. So,
yep,
that's another reason.
Yep, I think I'm going to continue with the trend. I'm going to go 103 here and just keep giving the push towards the strategy of I want to have a couple picks, even if it's I have to pick the second QB off the board. I'm going to have some leverage when it comes to that. So this is really a build thing. I can see where teams go, yeah, you know what, I'm going to do what Eric said, and I'm just going to go with one elite quarterback, and then I'm going to not consider quarterbacks. But again, you don't have to draft a quarterback with these rookie picks. You could always trade back. You could always trade back a slot or two and not take a quarterback. So I think it gives you that element of flexibility that you don't have if you were to take somebody like Tua or AJ Brown. So I'll just go 103.
Okay. And then I'll make it easy with the Deshaun Watson team here. I'd go with the rookie pick 104. I'm at least locking myself into one of the quarterbacks here with that pick, probably. You got Levis, Stroud, Richardson, and Bryce Young. I'm pretty much locking myself into one of those four quarterbacks here with Watson over Tua. Plus, you said I have flexibility. I don't have to do that because maybe Tua falls to my next pick here in round three, and then I could go Watson and then take, best running back or best receiver, rookie receiver left, and then grab my quarterback in 305. So I'm going to go with the rookie pick 104.
I'm going to continue it. I'm going to go rookie pick 105. A little risky. But again, you have a whole team to build, and you can probably build slightly differently around the rookie pick. So I think a lot of people are going to question this pick and go, yeah, there's no way I would trade some of these players on the board for the 105. That's not the point. Mm. The point is you're building a team. So this is where, like, maybe I'll differ from a lot of people because I'm looking at this from I'm constructing a roster. I don't necessarily care about player A versus player B because this isn't a trade. You know, like you could say, hey, I'm going to draft this player. But again, once you have a player, it's not exactly just like what a trade calculator says. The biggest factor into trades is there demand for that player in your league? If there's not demand for the player at this time during the year, then it doesn't matter what their value is.
Right.
So I'm just going to go 105 and kind of push the board. And at some point, it's going to be a game of chicken. Like, one of us has to stop taking the rookie picks, you know?
Right, for sure. So that was the Justin Herbert team that he picked for right there. So this is the Joe Burrow team I am picking for right now. And I'm going to play a little bit of a defense/cock block move. And I'm going to take A.J. Brown right before the Jalen Hurts owner. So I'm going to go A.J. Brown here at the 209. And he's probably the next receiver to come off the board anyways. So it's fair value. With all five rookie picks going off already, that takes me out pretty, I would guess, out of the second quarterback sweepstakes there for the rookies. And then I was deciding between Tua and A.J. Brown for me. So I'm going to go A.J. Brown.
Yep, I would have definitely taken A.J. Brown for the Jalen Hurts team. So good job on Eric playing some defense there. This is a real tough spot because now you're getting into, I think, kind of a flat tier of players. And I know we had this discussion in the Discord yesterday about how maybe I or some others might view the rookie picks. I think you, I, a lot of others that follow DD or that have had these discussions with us in DD, they kind of look at the top three or four picks after Bijan as quarterbacks, right? Like we're kind of already slotting those in until otherwise noted. But I think in a lot of our leagues, it's the opposite. I think there's a lot of people that are going, eh, Bryce Young, too small. Eh, Will Levis, he stinks. Anthony Richardson, he stinks. Like, they're not penciling those guys in at 103, 104, 105, you know? They're sitting there. I mean, how often do you hear people on podcasts or whatever, they slip and they go, oh, 102, Jahmyr Gibbs. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they don't even say quarterbacks. Like, they may mention a quarterback could be there, but they're not locking in three or four quarterbacks next after Bijan like we might be right now.
Right.
So I think the 106 presents a little bit of intrigue because there's some leagues where the 106 is any player that's not a quarterback and not Bijan. You know? And yeah, I mean, it's a little risky to take the wide receiver one in this class over some of the receivers that are out there. But again, the flexibility of having that choice on the clock could be big. So I'm still going to pivot away from it. I don't love the options here. So I am going to take Kyle Pitts here. Just, it's almost like taking what I think could be the 103, 104. You know, like I do think there's a path where Kyle Pitts, if they do get a quarterback, where the excitement explodes again for him. So I think now is the time to kind of just take that asset and hope for the best. So I'll go Kyle Pitts.
Okay. And then I am up at the 211. This is the Josh Allen team. And I'm going to take Travis Kelce here. And I'm blocking the Mahomes owner from getting Kelce, obviously. But I also think you're getting a nice little advantage here as the Josh Allen owner against the Mahomes team. So whenever you play that Patrick Mahomes team, hey, you got his best weapon too. So you're getting all those stats from Mahomes to, you know, that Travis Kelce would be getting too. So it's kind of a little bit of a defensive move plus a little bit of a strategy move for me. So I'm going to go Travis Kelce here at the 211.
All right, I like it. So do I go back-to-back here as the Mahomes team?
Yep, yep.
All right. Well, I am going to hedge my bets a little bit, and I am going to take – well, you know what? I was going to say I'm going to take a rookie pick, and then I'm going to take a wide receiver. But I'm going to go for a little shock value here. So I am going to take.
Wow, I can't believe you're taking Kadarius Toney this high.
No, I'm going to take Mark Andrews.
Okay.
And then this is where it's tough for me because literally I know I'm going to take a receiver. But what if I don't take a receiver? Okay. What if I go Jonathan Taylor?
You could.
I think I'll go Jonathan Taylor there. And I'll risk it. And I'll just bank that, you know, we didn't specify if this was best ball. If this was best ball, I wouldn't hate it because you could, you know, play receiver a little bit differently. But I'm going to pivot. I'll go Jonathan Taylor and Mark Andrews. And this is the old, like, FFPC start where it's like, dude, I could have them top three running back, top three tight end, top three quarterback. And then, you know, let's see what happens at receiver. So there you go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is a tough for me. So I'll be picking again for the Josh Allen team that has Josh Allen and Kelce. I think I'm built for win now.
I know where you're going. You going with the stack?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the stack, even though he's probably, like, if you look at trade cut, there's like six other receivers above him right now.
I considered the stack just to go against the Kelce Allen build. Yeah.
Right. That's kind of what I was thinking you were thinking too. So, yeah, I think I'm just going to go with Stephon Diggs here and go with Josh Allen, Travis Kelce, Stephon Diggs. Obviously, this team is going in the win now mode, so they're going to want some win now pieces. But yeah, that's where I'm going to go with this one. So I'm going to go with Stephon Diggs.
Man.
And then you're up here. This is the Jalen Hurts, Kyle Pitts team.
Yeah, I think I'll just continue to kind of go with what I think could be some insulation asset-wise. Like, there's four or five receivers that you could take here and feel good about them. So I'll just take Jalen Waddle.
Okay, yep, that'll work. Jalen Waddle.
Not really, honestly, that I know I went silent. There's not really any explanation. There's, yeah. If I took four or five receivers, I could be like, fine, I can justify it. So that's pretty much it.
You got three super young assets probably at the top of their games there, Jalen, Pitts, and Waddle. So, yeah, you got three of the top guys there. So I like it. So this one is the Joe Burrow, A.J. Brown team. So a little bit of a win-now team as well here. But I think having Burrow and A.J. Brown, I think this is the team where I feel comfortable with what I have so far. I think I'd be willing to go with Tua Tagovailoa here. So I'm going to go with Tua.
So the Tua slides ends at the 304?
Yeah, 304.
304, Tua slide ends. Okay. Oh, let's see.
So you're up now with the Justin Herbert rookie pick 105 team.
All right. So this is one that I'm literally just going to probably look at my portfolio to make this pick because there's literally five receivers that I would put in this range. And that doesn't include the rookie pick 106, which I think has a very good shot of having a the wide receiver one in the class at that spot too. So if you sat here and you said, and again, the power of the rookie pick 106 would be whoever the wide receiver one is, I'm probably going to get to take them. I don't have to pick them now. I can wait and see which one gets the draft capital, which one gets the landing spot. I mean, hell, the rookie wide receiver one could be a guy on the Chargers. You know, like that, there is a 5% right. advantage that I can have by taking that pick over a current wide receiver. So if you took the 106 here and you said, you know what, I might get a receiver that's the wide receiver one on the Chargers, and it's like all of a sudden I have the stack, you know?
Well, and you'd have the 105 and the 106 back-to-back, so you could pretty much decide what you want to do there.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I do see now that that was the 105. Man, that reminds me of, I guess, a reason why I wouldn't take the 106, because I can block the player that would be picking the 106. You know what I mean? I'm going to have access to probably either the quarterback leverage or one of those receivers if I wanted. So I'll just take Garrett Wilson.
Okay. That's a good pick. I like Garrett there. So, okay. So you got Herbert 105 and Garrett Wilson there. Now, next up is the team where I took Deshaun Watson and the rookie pick 104. So I'm pretty much going to be banking on that I have two quarterbacks there for myself, so I can go with whoever I think is the next best available skill position player. So looking at the wide receivers, I think it's probably Amon-Ra, Higgins, Olave, Tyreek, somewhere in that range. Or could I go to running back, where we've only had two go so far, really, basically the 101 and Bijan and Jonathan Taylor. I think I'm going to go with, man, it's tough here, too. Because I like some of these running backs that are available better than the 106 rookie pick. I think I would take a couple of these guys before I would take Jahmyr Gibbs, who I think would fall there. I think the tight ends, the top four tight ends, or the top three tight ends are gone. Not really interested in the fourth tight end right now. So I think tight ends off the board for me. And then looking at wide receivers, I think we're looking at Amon-Ra, Higgins, Olave, I kind of mentioned earlier. So I think I'm going to be looking at running back, and I think I'm going to go with Breece Hall here. I think Breece, obviously, he's coming off the injuries, ACL only, so that's at least that part is good. It's scary taking a running back off of an ACL injury. I know it's never like the big thing. I still like him better than Kenneth Walker a little bit. There's probably not much difference between Hall and Walker. Honestly, I could argue Walker over Hall by now. But I just like Breece Hall. I like his upside. I like the offense that he's in, the way that he was being used. So I'm going to go with Breece Hall here. It's probably not the right pick, but oh well.
No, it's, again, there probably isn't right or wrong picks necessarily. It's what does your team look like once you build around the certain type of roster construction. So, I mean, it is dangerous. I mean, I took Jonathan Taylor, so it is dangerous to take running backs, I think, right, if you don't know how to roster construct around them. One thing that I would say if I'm doing startups that I'm never going to do is I'm not going to get in a spot where it's like, okay, the best value on the board is constantly running back, because I don't want to build a team where I've drafted five or six running backs in the first like 15 rounds, you know? And I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities in certain startup rooms to where you can get running backs at a really good price. And that might be out for you if you've taken a couple early ones, you know, like if you have an anchor or two and you're in there randomly round 10, you're going like, I don't want to take another running back. You know, I'm going to just kind of follow with trying to get other positions. So that's the only risk of taking a running back. You have to be selective on how you're going to build around them. So with that said, I will take Chris Olave to pair with Fields in the rookie pick 103. So I will go Chris Olave at the 307. Really same tier, I think, as Waddle, Garrett Wilson, a couple guys on the board. So just roll with Chris Olave next.
Yep. All right, so I am up here, and I have the Lamar Jackson and Trey Lance team. So I obviously have my two quarterbacks. Going to probably be looking for whatever I think is the next best available rookie or skill player. And the wide receivers are getting eaten up, you know, looking at Amon-Ra, T. Higgins, Tyreek, those types as well. But I think I'm just going to take Ken Walker, who I talked about with my last pick. He was, you know, in consideration there with me for Breece Hall and Ken Walker. So I don't think that's too crazy. I'm going to go Ken Walker here.
So this was the team that has Lamar and Trey Lance, right?
Yeah, Lamar and Lance. Yep.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Well, I guess I'll just continue down the line. This team picked at the 109, Trevor Lawrence, rookie pick 102, which I feel very confident about, getting a quarterback there. I'll get my choice. Maybe I'm going to manifest the future Trevor Lawrence to T. Higgins stack here.
Okay.
And I'm going to roll with T. Higgins. Not saying it's going to happen, but I think it's probably between T. Higgins, Amon-Ra, and either a couple other receivers that you probably can consider here too. So I'll just roll T. Higgins.
And then next up here is the Dak and Lamb team. So I got that stack already going here. So I'm looking at, probably want to, I don't know if I want to double up on receiver again. Actually, I think I'm going to go with the rookie pick 106. There's still things that could happen there. A quarterback could fall there to me if somebody takes Gibbs above, or I could take Gibbs there. Or I can trade the pick and, you know, maybe get another position of what I'm looking for. So I think I'm going to take the rookie pick 106 here.
Yeah, and I'll say this. I think it's a really decent chance, not that you're trying to do this, but there's a really decent chance that either Gibbs or one of the receivers that's available there could potentially even be on Dallas.
Right, yeah, that's true.
Like, I could see where they let Pollard go and they would draft a guy like Gibbs. Like, that's probably a longer shot, but I definitely could see them taking a receiver. I know Ray's talked about that. Like, that's a prime team that could take, you know, JSN or Jordan Addison, and all of a sudden you have a triple stack, and, man, that'd be sick.
Right, yeah.
So I agree. Plus, that 106, I think, is the swing pick to where all it takes is one or two people ahead of you to want a receiver or Gibbs instead, or a running back instead, and you're in a spot to take the quarterback three or four. So I think that's a really, like, flexible pick that if I have the 106 or 107, I think that's actually a really decent spot, because you're forcing everybody to kind of look at the board the same way as you do. And if they don't, you know, one of the quarterbacks might fall into your lap even if you don't need them. So it's a good spot to be.
All right, so you're up with the Ja'Marr Chase, Kyler Murray team.
Yeah, this is one of those where you're probably hoping that, like, a guy like Tua might fall back to you, or one of the rookie picks that could lock you in a quarterback, you know? Like, that's the gamble of taking Kyler as your QB1. Like, if the board follows how we took all these picks and all the top six picks are gone, you're probably in a tough spot to try to get another quarterback here. So you could go with the 107. I know this is my last pick, so that's why I'm giving a little more analysis. You could go with the 107 and just hope that you're in a position to take a QB. But I probably would pass on that, knowing that the QB available to me is probably going to be kind of the ass end of the quarterbacks, you know, like I'm not going to get to choose which one I want. So I'll probably just take Amon-Ra here as the next receiver off the board. And, you know, he's only 23. He's put up pretty historic numbers since like midway through his rookie year. So I'm good just taking Amon-Ra. And even if my team isn't, you know, smashing right away, I'm still building with two really insulated receivers and then Kyler hopefully healthy in 2024. So I'll just go Amon-Ra.
Okay. And then with my last pick here, this is the Justin Jefferson, Bijan Robinson team or rookie pick 101. So, yeah, like you said, the quarterbacks left are like Kenny Pickett, Daniel Jones. Like, I just don't see too much of a difference there to where I could probably get one with my double tap here, or I could just wait another round and see what comes back to me. I think I would just take another skill player. And I'm going between, you know, there's McCaffrey and Barkley at running back. And then wide receivers. We've taken a lot of the wide receivers, but you're still looking at Tyreek, DK Metcalf, Devontae Smith, Drake London.
Let me pick your brain real quick while you're talking this, because this is the last pick of the draft.
Sure.
You went Jefferson and Bijan, right? And I think a lot of people would pick similar teams like that because they don't really have a choice. They don't want to chase quarterback, so they just go with the top two assets. Mm-hmm. Does that preclude you here, knowing you have Bijan already in the bag? Does that preclude you here from considering another running back?
No, it's kind of, I think, where I was leaning, honestly, was taking either McCaffrey or Saquon. I'm kind of thinking, like, it might not be the quarterback that's necessarily the first one up right here, but I think I'm not going to do it since we're not doing the fourth round, but I would probably double tap one of the running backs and Kirk Cousins because I have Jefferson and just get Cousins and Jefferson stack, and then I can tab two elite running backs. I could go Tyreek too and have an elite wide receiver if I'm playing. I mean, on this team, if you have Bijan, you want to be on a win now team. So maybe that's, I don't know if that's the play or not, or should I go with another running back?
The only thing that's I will tough. Say just from the some of the startups that I've seen, you're at the, right now, you are at the I dare you point of the startup.
Right.
And it's the I dare you point of, okay, if you don't take a quarterback here, you also know that there could be a bunch more quarterbacks gone before you pick. Mm-hmm. At the same time, though, you're kind of daring everybody else to take quarterbacks. You're the only team that really doesn't have a quarterback, but let alone doesn't have a top 10 quarterback, right? Like you're the only other team. I mean, there's one other team that doesn't have a top 10 quarterback. But you're also kind of saying, okay, I'm going to dare those teams to start taking the Daniel Jones, Kenny Pickett, Kirk Cousins, Mac Jones. You know what I mean? Like you're kind of daring those teams to pick those guys because you've already had to build your team a little differently. You've already had to go Justin Jefferson, Bijan. So it does feel like if you take Kirk Cousins, like I think a lot of people will be tempted to double tap quarterback here because they're scared to miss out. But are you really missing out on Kenny Pickett and Kirk Cousins? You know what I mean?
No, like, I think I'm just doing it just so I have Cousins and Jefferson stack, and it at least gives me some upside against, like, you know, the team that has Kelce, Diggs, and Allen.
Let me ask you, if you had Chase instead of Jefferson, would you consider Cousins here?
No.
Okay. So basically it's the stack that's driving it. It's not the team build.
Right.
And that was what
I also know that Cousins isn't coming back to me in round five.
He's not. But he's one of those tough ones where it's almost like I don't want to acquire my Kirk Cousins shares in startups because he's seen as the highest valued non-elite quarterback, which means, yeah, he's not coming back to me. But the reality is if he falls off even 10%, he's in a range where he's almost replacement level. So I don't want to take him in a startup knowing that in the market of all my other leagues, he's probably a lot more available if I'm willing to pay the piper. Now, do I want to pay the piper for Kirk Cousins? Probably not. But he's available. I could go get Kirk Cousins in every one of my leagues right now. You wouldn't want to pay the price. You wouldn't give me a discount. But if I came with the 102, I could get Kirk Cousins in every damn league. Every league I could get him tomorrow if I had those picks. So I think that's in a startup where I struggle, because it's like the worst thing you can do when you start Jefferson and Bijan is start chasing shitty quarterbacks.
Right.
So I almost think I'd go the other way. I'd do exactly what you said. I would go the other way. I would just draft. I would lean into the way I already started. Mm-hmm. I'd go running back, receiver, young guys, you know, draft picks or receivers.
Right.
Or young running backs, and just be like, you know what? I'm going to push it another two rounds. And, you know, you may not get the quarterbacks you want, but you've already kind of directed your team that way. So why?
Yeah.
It feels like it's a little bit of not a cowardly move, but it feels like you're kind of caving to the board when you just take quarterbacks there, you know?
Right. So at least we don't have the fourth round and I don't have to make that decision. So,
I mean, if you were just for fun, you would go with what? Who you'd take?
I think with the third round pick, I think I'm going to go Christian McCaffrey, just because this is a win now build, in my opinion, with Bijan, McCaffrey, and Jefferson. Like, that's probably three of the most important assets, especially if McCaffrey keeps hitting like he hits and putting up these like 20, 25 point per game seasons,
mm-hmm.
along with Bijan, who I think has the ability to do the same thing, and Justin Jefferson, who's arguably, you know, the top two wide receiver in the league. So yeah, I think I would keep pushing that. And then I would be okay with reaching for Kirk Cousins there, just so I could have the Cousins and Jefferson stack.
Okay, so let's say you didn't have Cousins, or you didn't have Jefferson, and you had Chase. What would you do? Just for shits and giggles. If you didn't have the stack coming into play, you already
I'd
said
probably
you wouldn't
go,
take Cousins.
I'd keep going win now, and I'd go McCaffrey and Tyreek.
Okay.
I think that's what I would do. I mean, I could go McCaffrey and Barkley, too, and really lean into the running back thing, but we've always talked about I don't want to have that many running backs, like, you know, super stud running backs like that. They just get hurt so much, and we just want to have more of these receivers. So, I mean, it's tempting to have all three of those running backs, but I think I would just go with Tyreek there.
In that case, would you consider Barkley, and then you immediately try to trade Bijan?
Yeah, I could definitely do that, and I could probably get a quarterback.
I mean, you might have to add to it, but at least Bijan is one of those assets. He's one of the three skill player assets that you actually have a prayer to get a quarterback with. You know what I mean? So, I mean, you could do that and go, I'm just going Barkley, McCaffrey, and if they give me 2 years of dominance, then I'm still probably winning the freaking league, you know?
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah, I could always deal one of those guys. Exactly.
So we're done. We're not going to go more rounds, because we could probably do an 18-hour show on this. But what'd you learn from this, especially on those weird spots? Like, what did you learn by picking in that back
half?
Yeah,
I think I'm just...
Are you excited? Would you be excited to build a team from that 112 spot now?
If it felt like this, yeah, I think so. Especially if my league mates are going to allow the skill players like this to fall to me. I think so, yeah.
Do you think you and I are we a little too high on these, the 102 through the 106 than what a typical league would be?
Yeah, because I think some of these guys would, these Jalen Waddles, the Wilsons, the Olaves, Breece Halls, Walkers, I think those guys would replace those picks and these picks would fall, personally.
Yeah, that's what I was picturing, because
yeah,
it just feels like other teams would be, they'd be going, oh, well, 104, that's Jordan Addison. I'd rather have Garrett Wilson because I've seen it before. You know, that type of logic.
Right.
So, anyway.
But I'll just break down the teams real quick, and maybe you can tell me which one you think is your favorite. So the 101 team took Mahomes, Mark Andrews, Jonathan Taylor. Pretty good start there. 102 team has Josh Allen, Travis Kelce, Stephon Diggs. So leaning into that win now mode. We got Jalen Hurts, Kyle Pitts, Jalen Waddle. And then we have Joe Burrow, A.J. Brown, and Tua Tagovailoa. Then we have the 105 team, Justin Herbert. They took Herbert, the 105, and Garrett Wilson. 106 team took Deshaun Watson, rookie pick 104, and Breece Hall. 107 team took Justin Fields, the 103, and Chris Olave. The 108 team took Lamar Jackson, Trey Lance, and Ken Walker. The 109 team took Trevor Lawrence, rookie pick 102, and T. Higgins. 110 team took Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, and rookie pick 106. 111 team took Jamar Chase, Kyler Murray, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and the final team, Justin Jefferson, the 101 rookie pick, and Christian McCaffrey. So do you have a favorite of those that you like?
Yeah, on our sheet, I colored them just so I could see what stands out to me. So if I had to take over one of these teams and I was just simply looking for, like, what team would I feel the most solid with, not only contending but having the potential position. I'm looking for teams that can smash, but also positional advantages and insulation. I don't necessarily care as much about win now or whatever because it's January.
Right.
We're so far away from the season. But I'm looking at, I mean, understanding what the current running back market is like. Anytime your team is built with a running back or multiple running backs in the early rounds, like, you have to understand there's going to be some volatility, especially in some leagues that we play in. But I still look at these teams and I'm like, it's hard to not look at that Mahomes, Andrews, Jonathan Taylor team and be like, hey, I could see a path where that team just rips people. Especially if that team can load up on rookie picks and wide receiver twos and threes, you know, like the quote-unquote threshold receivers, you've already set the stage for you're gambling on the onesie position with Taylor and with Mark Andrews. Like, you're gambling on the positional advantage. Just if it whiffs, it whiffs. But if it hits, like, you could see where that team has a top five or top three player at three positions, and then, man, you better hope they don't get any, you know, any of these receivers that go up a tier. You know what I mean? Like, that team could be really dangerous. So I still think that might be the one that I go with. And the funny thing is, of course, that's the team at the 101. Like, that's why you're advocating for the third round reversal. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way you could get a team close to that at the 112 or the 111, you know?
Right.
So I think I'd go with that. I think the other one, if you just look at the combination of the players, I kind of like the, well,
I like the, yeah, I kind of like the Diggs one.
I like that one too. I kind of like the Burrow, Tua, and AJ Brown team. It's a lot. It's really risky, but, like, if Tua's just fine and comes back, like, that's the one team that you could argue 6 weeks ago we would have said that team has two of the top 8 or 10 quarterbacks. Right. Nobody else has that, and they have essentially a top five receiver too, and they're going to be back on the clock, you know, to pick two picks in the sweet spot range of, you know, first round rookie picks and decent receivers, you know what I mean? Or they're going to get a guy like Barkley that falls in their lap or something, and it's like,
well, we didn't talk about if it was a point per carry league or not, but what would you think of Lamar, Lance, Ken Walker in a point per carry league?
Yeah, I mean, if it's point per carry, then I think the thing with the point per carry, though, we would see the running backs pushed up, you know?
Yeah, probably.
We'd probably see more rookie picks going off the board a little faster. Some of the running backs, like, you'd never see, like, Barkley going in the fourth round. He'd probably go at least in the third. So you'd probably see some of the other younger running backs get drafted before the...
Yeah, I think the receivers would fall, like Olave and Garrett Wilson. T. Higgins would probably fall into the round four.
They're replaceable.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just not as impactful, like, from a flex perspective. So, yeah, maybe next time we can do a... It would be cool to do, like, a point per carry and... you know, something different because the board is totally different. And how many times have we been in a point per carry league and you can, after three or four rounds, you can spot the idiot that doesn't know it's point per carry and takes like three receivers to start the draft. You know what I mean? It's like, dude.
Yeah, maybe we can do this again in a month and maybe we'll get a guest on and have a guest join us and do this.
With the point per carry, throw some wrinkles into the format. Yeah, I like that. But this was fun.
Something like that. Yeah.
What was your best team? What do you think was the favorite?
I think if I had to pick, like, a favorite to win it all just for the following year, I think I would go with the Allen Kelce Diggs team. I think that would be my favorite. Because I think you'd have the top tight end and having, you could argue Allen and Diggs is the top stack in the league.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't really have, he's not feeding Gabe Davis. He's not feeding Dawson Knox. He's feeding Stephon Diggs, and that's really it. So I think that would be my favorite if I had to choose one that would win the league next year. I think I'd go Allen, Kelce, Diggs.
Yeah, again, my favorite was the 101. Yours was the 102. So yeah. you have a lot of flexibility when you already have Mahomes and Herbert or Mahomes and Allen locked in.
Yeah, and then if the 112 team could hit on two quarterbacks, like if I did take Kirk Cousins at the 401 and then, my next pick, I don't know, I got Jared Goff. Got Justin Jefferson, Bijan Robinson, Christian McCaffrey, Cousins, and Jared Goff, and then build my team from there on out. Like I think that team would have a good shot too.
Okay, so one more question for you, since you made that point. What's the position, or what's your view on where the quarterbacks drop off to the point where? Because I would argue, once you get to like past Kirk Cousins, the scoring difference. Okay, maybe you can argue Jared Goff, Daniel Jones this year. If they can repeat what they did this year for the next 3 or 4 years, then they should have probably already been off the board.
Right.
You know, because they're just as good as, you know, Tua, you know what I mean? Like, they should have already been taken. But there's clearly a reason that you don't take them, because you don't trust that they're going to just be what they have been this year for, you know, 5 more years. What's the point, though, where you're like, okay, QB 17's already gone. Mm-hmm. I'm just taking a body at this point.
Right.
If I'm really drafting, you know, I like Mac Jones, but if I'm drafting Mac Jones, is he really any different than Jimmy Garoppolo and Jameis Winston?
Yeah, no. I mean,
you just don't know where those guys are starting and if they're going to start. That's the only difference, you know?
Yeah, the next four off the board are Pickett, Daniel Jones, Goff, Cousins, and Mac Jones. That'd be the next five. You still got to throw, I mean, as much as people are dogging on him right now, you still got to consider Russell Wilson right with these guys.
I think Russ, Rodgers, and Carr are getting shit on, but I think they're probably like the next three quarterbacks. Like, I'm pretty sure they're starters until they're not. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Like, I'm still taking Russell Wilson above Pickett, Daniel Jones, Goff. I'm still taking Russell Wilson above those guys. Yep. Cousins, I think I could talk myself into Cousins over Wilson if I had Jefferson. I don't think it's that much of a difference for me to just go, oh, no, I got to take Russ over Cousins. But I think that's where I would be at, yeah.
I mean, think about this, though. Let's say you, on that turn, you went Bijan and McCaffrey, or you went McCaffrey and Barkley, right?
Right.
Then in a month, you turn around and trade Bijan for A.J. Brown and a future first.
Mm-hmm.
And then you wait and you wait. And then in round 5 and 6 on your turn, you get Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers. That's right. A team that can smash.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, you've literally gotten A.J. Brown, Jefferson, Barkley, McCaffrey, Rodgers, Russell Wilson, and an extra first.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like, and the extra first is just insurance. Okay, I mean, if Rodgers or Russell Wilson shits the bed or something happens, then I have an extra pick to move around for a quarterback. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, that might be the way to play it, because there are going to be people in startups that they just don't want the quarterbacks here, and they're going to keep taking – they're going to be taking fucking the Kadarius Tonys of the world before they are taking quarterback 22, because quarterback 22 is a dog. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So it's interesting on those bad spots. Like, you can kind of build a unique team. So I think if I'm doing any snake drafts and I get a later pick, I may do kind of what you did and just use this as a chance to build a different type of squad than what I'm going to have in my other 40 leagues, you know?
Right. Yep. That's kind of what I was going for with it. So that's cool. All right. We ready to play America's favorite game, and then we'll head on out.
Yeah, I wasn't sure we were going to do America's favorite game, because this hasn't been America's or Eric's favorite week. So,
yeah,
but we're here. Sure. Let's do it.
All right. So the one I came up with thinking about it at work last night, what is your favorite college football bowl game, championship game of all time? Or one that's the most memorable, your favorite, whatever.
Favorite, man. Well, there's three of them that come to mind, and I don't have any rooting interest, but you got to say the Texas USC game,
right,
was still one of the greatest ones. Just from I vividly remember that. I was really into college football at that time. That was at the height of my like NCAA football playing days. So like,
Same.
I watched college football religiously. That was to where it was like I'm DVRing every game and all that kind of stuff. So I just remember following that, and it was amazing how people still really didn't even give Texas a chance.
Yeah.
Honestly. Like they were, you know, a touchdown underdog or more, and you're like, wow, like they had an undefeated team. And, you know, that was the same year. I mean, obviously I went to Ohio State at the time, so that was the same year they were came to the Horseshoe and won. And I went to that game, and it was still like the best live game I've ever been to.
Yeah.
And it was like, wow, Texas is good. So getting to see that team go basically wire to wire and, you know, get to the championship was pretty cool. So I'll say that one is up there. One of the funnest games I remember watching was the Oklahoma Boise State game where they ran all the trick plays.
Me and so that was locked up so far.
That's another bowl game that was fun. That just
was the at the Statue time of Liberty play with Jared Zabransky and I forget the running back's name.
Ian Johnson proposed to his girlfriend after the game. Yep, yeah. Never forget that. Yep. But yeah, that was one of those where it was like, now if you saw that type of upset, it's no big deal. I mean, Tulane just beat USC, you know what I mean? But like,
right
at that point, it was kind of like a big deal to see like a small school beat a big team in a bowl game like that. Now it'd be like, yeah, with NIL and everything, like it's no big deal. It happens every year, like big upsets like that. So that one was there. The third one's tough because there's a lot of them that are coming to my mind, but man, I'm gonna have to think on that one. There's like six that I'm trying to think of. So I'll decide. You go first, then I'll chime in with my third one.
I think my favorite one that I watched is what you mentioned already, USC Texas. There was just so much hype on that game. Like literally Leinart, Reggie Bush, Vince Young, those dudes were rock stars in college football. Like they were almost as like bigger than NFL players at that point, kind of just the way that everything was going. So yeah, that game definitely sticks in my mind as one of the best games I've ever seen. Just two of the best teams I've ever seen too. So that was one of them. You mentioned the Oklahoma Boise State game. That was just a wild ass game for sure. I remember watching that. And then the other big one that comes to me is I'm just gonna have let my fandom come out a little bit was the Ohio State versus the U Miami championship game. Obviously, they threw the Craig Krenzel threw the interception. Maurice Collette ran him down and stripped the ball and got the ball back. And that basically got us enough there to win it. Willis McGahee's nasty ass knee injury in that game. I mean, Collette just battled us back. Craig Krenzel, who didn't really do shit in the NFL, he did play a little bit, but, you know, led us to a national championship. So, and that's my only title that I really claim, you know, as being like an Ohio fan, like just like Cleveland stuff and college football and all that. So yeah, that's really my only one that I've you know, really really cared about. So that one was cool. I had my favorite player on that team was Mike Doss, the safety. He went and played with the Colts. I had his Colts jersey and all that. So that was one of my favorite players growing up was Mike Doss. He was awesome. He was one of the captains on that team. So yeah, those are probably three of my favorite bowl games. I'm trying to think of any others too that come off the top of my head that were really good. Obviously, the other Ohio State Oregon national championship game where Ohio State just beat the brakes off of Oregon with Zeke Elliott. Cardale Jones was the starter, the third string quarterback. That's another one that comes to my mind, but that's probably not for non-Ohio State fans.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw two out there. So obviously the I didn't know he would be a Bengal, but it was the Burrow game against Oklahoma a couple years ago in the semifinal where he lit him up, six touchdowns. Yep. I mean, that was still maybe one of the best like passing performances from a quarterback in a big game. You know what I mean? It was just like,
for sure. Yep.
They're literally not a single mistake. And then you look in hindsight, you go back and watch the highlights of that game. Justin Jefferson scored four touchdowns. At the time, you're like, oh, Justin Jefferson, you know, he's good, but you just didn't really probably appreciate that team to where I know we've talked a lot about that team, but like literally that team could literally have like three Hall of Famers.
Right.
You know, so like that game, I'll never forget watching that going like, man, like that's, this might be the greatest offense. That was right at the point where it was like, this is the greatest offense in college history.
Oh, yeah.
Like it might be, you know, after that game. The other one, I'll say this, because I worked at Ohio State at the time. And I'm not an Ohio State fan. You know this.
Yep.
So I don't like Ohio State. But yet I'm from here. I live in Columbus. So it's like I have like this weird affinity with the Buckeyes. I usually root against them, to be quite honest. And a lot of times I root against them because of all the assholes that I live around. Right. Like I just want them to experience misery, you know? So I mean, I was working at Ohio State, taking classes at Ohio State at the time. But I'll never forget how humbling it was going back to school after the Troy Smith Heisman, and then they just got murdered by Florida.
Yeah.
They returned the opening kickoff for a touchdown. And then I think Florida had 41 unanswered points or 34 unanswered points or something like that in the game.
Yeah.
And I think they went up like 30, it was either 34-7 or 34-14 in the game. But it was like no one expected that. You know what I mean? Because like Florida was good, but Florida wasn't like they weren't the same team
Yeah, they didn't have this explosive offense that Ohio State had.
They didn't.
Because the week before was the Ohio State Michigan 1-2 game, basically. It was like the Mike Hart, Chad Henne team, I believe, and against the Troy Smith, Ted Ginn, Anthony Gonzalez, Antonio Pittman. All those guys were on Ohio State. And that was like 42-39 final or something like that.
Yeah, it was just that game where it was like it just kind of came out of nowhere, you know, and then people got back to campus and it was like everyone was really, really humbled in that game. And I'll never forget all the stories about Troy Smith. You know, you heard the stories about Troy Smith. He got lazy after winning the Heisman and gained like 20 pounds. And you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Kind of packed it in. But yeah, that game was one of those where, you know, it started. That's what started the Ohio State hates the SEC. And they've literally hated the SEC for like 20 years since almost. Yeah. And then, of course, the kick in the balls was the Ohio State got beat by Florida in the basketball championship shortly after that. Yeah. The Greg Oden and Mike Conley team lost. And so that pissed people off even more because it was like, man, we can't beat Florida. So at the time, I mean, honestly, Florida won the football national title and they won back-to-back college basketball titles. Like, you'll never see that again where a team wins literally three titles in that short of a span, you know? So,
yeah, you better hope your Calipari buys you guys a quarterback and a running back and an offensive line. Maybe that could happen again.
Yeah, no, probably not. I don't think you'll never see that in where a team wins three national titles in a span of like two calendar years like that. So it's not going to happen. But
yeah, because it's really hard to have like a super good football and basketball team at the same time. It's like either one or the other. So it's kind of rare to have them both.
And that's the funny thing is Florida at the time had a dominant football team, but then they shortly lost Urban Meyer a couple of years later.
Yep.
But their basketball program was like at the peak of, you know, they were one of these teams that's not a basketball school, but they ran into a, you know, like a 5-year window where they dominated in basketball. So like you just, it's hard to have them actually fire like that at the same time. So yeah, that definitely fueled the, ever since then, everybody I know that likes Ohio State, they hated the SEC and it started with those years. It started with those Florida losses. And after that, it was LSU. It's been Alabama, you know, it's Georgia. Like it's just
That's one of the ones that pisses me off too. I think, was it the Matt Flynn LSU team that fucking beat us? Or it was some like just shitty quarterback at LSU just whooped our ass. I forget who it was. I want to say it was Matt Flynn. I don't remember though.
Yeah, I don't remember either. I have to go back and look. But yeah, it's just funny to see the disdain for the SEC around here. And it's, you know, it's weird. I know they lost to there's been other times where Ohio State basketball has lost to SEC teams. And it's just like every time they play an SEC team, they're just pissed. So anyway, that's where it started. That's a fun story.
Yeah, so I just looked it up. They lost 38-24. And Matt Flynn was the LSU quarterback, 174 yards and 4 touchdowns. Do you remember who the running back and the lead receiver were on LSU?
Give me the year.
2008. So the Ohio State quarterback was Todd Beckman or Boakman.
I remember that.
Beanie Wells was the leading running back. Hartline, Brandon Sain. They only had completed 15 passes to receivers. 6 to Hartline, 3 to Brandon Sain, 5 to Robisky, 1 to Ray Small.
Wow.
But I was just curious if you remember who the lead running back and lead receiver were for LSU that year.
I probably could think of the running back. Yeah, because that was the same. That was the LSU team that backed into the title game.
Yep.
And they beat. That was the team Kentucky beat LSU that year.
I think LSU beat. Maybe I think it was Colt McCoy's Texas team, maybe.
I don't remember, but that was the year. I just remember that was the year Kentucky beat LSU in the overtime. That was the Stevie Johnson, Andre Woodson team that beat LSU that season.
Nice.
I'm trying to think who the running back was on that team. Cause I remember some of the players on that team.
Okay.
LSU receiver, because that was before Landry and Odell.
Yep.
It was like 2 years before those guys.
This guy wasn't the leading receiver in this game, but he did catch a touchdown. But he is a former Bengal. I'll give you that, one of the receivers.
Former Bengal. Man. When did he play for the Bengals? I remember one of the receivers, because I remember he had a touchdown in the Kentucky game. They had the little dude, Trendon Holiday.
Yeah, they had Holiday. He was one of the receivers, but he wasn't like one of the leading ones.
Who was the former Bengal? Because I know he didn't play for the Bengals.
I'm seeing if it gives me like his career stats. So he played with the Bengals in 2016 and 2017.
Wow. 2016 and 2017.
Yeah, so it was later in his career, obviously.
Oh, I got it. Brandon LaFell.
Yep, you got
Brandon
it.
Brandon LaFell, because I hated him on the Bengals. He sucked.
Yep. So he was one of the leading receivers.
He was a running back. I cannot think of that.
I think he played in the NFL maybe one year. Let me look at that two stats.
That's probably why
he played in the league for 5 years, but he wasn't like a running back. He was more of a fullback. Maybe that'll give you the hint.
No, I can't think of it.
Played with San Diego and then Denver for 1 year before he called it quits.
Can't think of it.
Jacob Hester.
Oh yeah, I remember Jacob Hester.
And then the leading receiver was Early Doucette.
Early Doucette, I remember that name.
And then in this game, Richard Dixon caught 2 touchdowns. I have never heard of him.
Richard Dixon. I've heard of Richard Dixon.
Yeah, he caught 2 touchdowns.
I remember that name, but yeah, blast from the past. I can't believe that's 15 years ago.
Right, yeah, Matt Flynn. Oh. All right, well, that is it for this week then. I am at Eric Vanek NFL on Twitter, and you can follow the show at America's Game Pod on Twitter as well. Make sure you guys join the Patreon, All Gas, patreon.com/allgas. Make sure you join that. Scott's Dynasty and Chill Patreon as well. Make sure you guys check that out. Lots of good conversations going on there, especially now that it's the off season. We're debriefing, going over stuff. Talking out, you know, what are we going to do for next year? So now is like a good time to like get in on that stuff and get the head start on it. Ray also on the Patreon is doing some running back film reviews right now. I haven't been able to watch them yet, but they're always fantastic. You'll fall in love with players and learn about them all draft process. So Ray really gets you started there. So that's a good place to start. So make sure you guys go there. And then Scott, what do you got coming up on Destination Dynasty on Monday?
Yeah, well, we're actually doing the live stream on Sunday night. So if you're listening to this before Sunday, 7:45 p.m. Eastern, I'll be live streaming on the DD channel. So it's really just going to be like what you said. It's going to be a debrief. I'll take questions on any of the prior shows that I've done. I have one topic that I'm going to bring there just, you know, to kind of do an icebreaker topic. But really, it's going to be probably just a short. There's going to be a Sunday night game, so depending on how impactful that is, I'm sure people might want to go watch the Lions-Packers game, especially if there's a playoff spot on the line for both teams. So probably like a 45-minute live stream, but it'll just be a, you know, a live stream, like a debrief, Q&A, back and forth. You know, I had said I'll do live streaming in the off season just because there's more time to kind of sit there and interact versus try to come up with like a, you know, an evergreen topic to talk about. So yeah, I'm going to start doing these, maybe not every week, but pretty frequently. I'm just doing like Sunday night live streams where there's nothing going on in Dynasty. Just kind of talk about the current landscape of stuff and different topics. So yep, 7:45 Eastern on the DD feed. Check it out on YouTube. It'll be put on the podcast feed afterwards. So I'll edit it and throw it in the podcast feed, but it'll definitely be a live stream. So I'll have a more of like an interaction feel to it. So yeah, check that out if you're not subscribed to the YouTube channel. And yeah, everything Eric said. One thing that's cool about the, I want to give Ray a plug with the film breakdown stuff, is I missed last night's film breakdown, but I was able to jump in right at the end and jump into the Q&A. And Ray does a Q&A on, you know, not just the player that he talked about, but just kind of a general Q&A from a Dynasty perspective. And I think Ray's really good at being able to articulate, hey, like he even said something at the end of that yesterday was, just because I say a player is X, Y, and Z on film doesn't really have anything to do with like where I would draft them. And that was kind of a revelation to me, because I think a lot of times we pigeonhole people that are like film analysts as like they don't really understand like the dynasty values and stuff. So I just want to give Ray a quick shout out for that. Good stuff. And with that, we'll go ahead and end the show until next week.